believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, of course, is Joel Skousen. And Joel's going to bring us abreast of the things that are going on. There's so many things happening. And, well, Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm going to start with the economy. It's going to be with us for a long time, but there is a continual propaganda drumbeat about of optimism, claiming that everything's going to turn around this year, and it really doesn't look like that's going to be true. So I'm addressing the question of where the economy is going, whether it's going to be up, down, or flat, and as I say, this will be an ongoing question, mainly because economists keep struggling to decipher the many mixed signals emerging from ever-changing data. And economic indicators, I believe, are being scrutinized perhaps a little too closely nowadays as pundits and commentators look for any sign of hope to justify their built-in need to paint a rosy picture. Everybody seems to be, wanting things to rebound, all investors, all commentators on the news, all politicians. Everybody really wants this thing to go away without any pain, and it's just not going to happen. You know, a slight increase or decrease in any indicator can lead to huge shifts in the markets, tiny changes that in prior years would be no news at all. And suddenly someone says, well, this, what's so typical as you hear on the news is that such and such a company beat market expectations. Well, the market expectations, they're going to lose such and such, and they only lost, 90% of that. And so all of a sudden the stock market's zooming up because the company didn't lose as much money. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is not a good sign for a stable economic recovery. And that's why the currency, bond, and stock markets are so volatile. It's why no long-lasting upward trend can gain traction. You know, everybody says, oh, look at this. The stock market went up 200 points, and tomorrow it'll be down 175. They only praise the up, and they downplay the the downside. You know, the dollar, which should be collapsing due to massive monetization by the Fed, is still holding its own, but only due to the relative weakness of other currencies combined with, what I call a psychology of fear and desperation, that the U.S. and the dollar is the only power large enough to save the world. And that kind of mentality is what keeps driving the dollar to remain relatively stable. But wishful thinking won't make the fundamental and structural weaknesses go away. With the former buy-on-credit consumer mentality crushed, and it is crushed, there's no way things can or should return to their former expansionary state. Unless, of course, panic buying due to high inflation takes over the markets, which would not, in that case, be a true recovery at all. It would just appear to be one. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, certainly the economy, is everybody keeps telling us that, they see the green sprouts coming up and things are going to turn and it's going to be all right by the end of this year. And there's no way that's going to happen with the tremendous number of homes out there that are unsold and now the commercial property market beginning to get into real trouble. A lot of those loans are going to go into default, and with General Motors and Chrysler going down and states not having enough money to keep their employees, and those people are going to be out of work, and their homes are going to be, going into foreclosure. So I think that they're trying to manipulate our outlook. I mean, certainly as you read the media, it's very apparent that now they're trying to reverse the deflationary or depressionary psychology they created in the American people and try to give us a little hope, and yet I see very little hope, and I agree with you.
Well, economist David Rosenberg, who isn't quoted, by the mainstream news, says, I'm seeing no revival of consumer spending in the second quarter of the year. The conditions that support the explosive growth of the last decade no longer exist. The credit markets are in shambles. The banking system is hanging by a thread. And that thread, of course, is the constant flow of bailout, and it's only going to selective banks. The consumer is out of gas, he says. Traders are clinging to the slim hope that the worst is over, but they are mistaken. There's probably another leg down yet to come, and it will be more vicious than the last. But, you know, typical media optimism is the story put out, says a new survey today among the National Association of Business Economics predicts the recession will end this year, although the recovery could be slow and uneven. More than 90% of economists, and I might say the only poll establishment economists, said the recession will end in either the third or fourth quarter of 2009, while the year's unemployment rate will average 9.1, the highest since 1983. Well, you know, this is just whistling in the wind, Dr. Stan. They can't have it both ways. They can't say that employment's going to stay higher than 9.1, and it's actually much higher than that because the figures are fudged. Unemployment is well over 12% and rising. Underemployment is another 8% on top of that. But, of course, all of these pundits paint a rosy picture while they put these little caveats in. You know, it could be rough and uneven, so that if it doesn't turn out, they say, well, I predicted it to be rough and uneven, and so it's rough and uneven. But, you know, the dollar is weakening steadily. China's demanding assurances that the U.S. will not monetize or print its way out of its massive and growing indebtedness. Secretary Gaetner assured the Chinese they have nothing to worry about, but they don't believe him. They know the U.S. has no other choice if it wants to keep the same charade of confidence going. It's going to have to inflate. So the big problem now is that U.S. bonds are losing their appeal fast and even being shunned by smaller players. The only ones buying bonds are the ones that are having their arms twisted, other major nations and central banks trying to shore up the U.S., because if they don't shore up the U.S., the whole game is over. At least that's what they're being told. And Martin Hutchinson asked the key question, what happens if the global investment community, public and private, sours on government bonds as a class asset? There's good reason for rational investors to get out of bonds. Britain's debt is forecast to exceed 100% of its gross domestic product by 2013. Japan's debt exceeds 200% of gross domestic product. And nobody believes the official forecast that the U.S. government debt will remain as low as 80% of GDP. Yet all three countries' interest rates on government debt are barely above the immediate rate of inflation, let alone the rate of inflation that is likely to arrive in the next 12 years. If governments were companies, you wouldn't touch their stock with a 10-foot pole. And as Martin Weiss said this week, even as we seek calm, investors overseas are doing precisely the opposite. They're dumping U.S. bonds. They're driving these assets down in price.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. iMoneyCoach.com's financial experts understand the forces that have brought our economy to where it is today and the difficult times ahead. For under $200, the online financial courses at iMoneyCoach.com will give you the power, insight, and tools you need to successfully navigate the coming financial storm. Gain thousands of dollars of training materials and videos in this 10-course program for under $200. Check out iMoneyCoach.com. That's iMoneyCoach.com.
If you have a yard or maybe a field, you may plan on digging in it. Perhaps you want to put in a swimming pool, add a super awesome barbecue pit, or bury a comically large chest of pirate booty.
Yarr.
But before you dig, you should know that there are buried pipelines in lots of places, maybe even under your own little patch of St. Augustine. If you dig and hit one of these pipelines, it could cause a leak, and that could cause serious problems.
Sorry.
So before you find buried pipelines with a shovel or a backhoe, find them with a phone. Call 811 before you dig to have any buried lines located and marked at no charge. Remember, before you dig for any reason, be it construction, a sprinkler system, or tunneling your way to sweet, sweet freedom, call 811 first. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and Joe was just talking about the bond market and the fact that foreign investors are selling bonds and driving the price of bonds down. Most people don't understand the bond market. The bond market is said to be 10 times the size of the stock market, and if that begins to go down, why, it foreshadows some very serious economic consequences. Pick up the story there, Joel.
Yes, bonds are a reflection of inflation. In other words, when inflation high, bonds which have a fixed rate of interest are a bad deal. And so they get discounted, and that's what's happening right now. The supply of U.S. Treasury bonds dumped on the market last week was so overwhelming, even the Federal Reserve, with all of its massive efforts to buy up bonds themselves, could not stop the avalanche. By the time most traders left for the weekend last Friday, all of the gains in bond prices the Fed had been able to engineer in recent weeks were wiped out. They were vanquished by market forces beyond the Fed's control. You know, the government never was and never will be completely immune from market selling. You know, it borrows like private things, and like any borrow, it has creditors. And like all creditors, it's ultimately up to them, not the borrower, to decide what to do with their money. Now, that said, the arrogant U.S. money controllers are partly right. There is no other game in town that can absorb the amount of foreign investment already poured into dollar-denominated assets, at least yet. But it is starting to emerge. In other words, where do people, when they take their money out of bonds, where do they put it? They don't want to put it back into dollars because that's the reason they're getting out of bonds, the fear that the dollar is inflating so much that it will become worthless. So other markets, alternatives to dollars, are beginning to emerge much stronger, primarily commodities, gold, silver, platinum, oil, other assets, oil. The price has gone up to about $66 a barrel. It's defying the general lack of demand for oil because of the economy being down. But that's a reflection of the fact that money's coming out of dollar-denominated assets and into commodities. And China, of course, is buying up huge amounts of strategic assets in order to salvage any value of its dollars. It's spending it while the value is still there. Now, investors really have to be worried given Washington's astonishing bet on fiscal and monetary reflation. The Obama administration's epic spending spree means that the Treasury will have to float trillions of dollars in new debt in the next 2 or 3 years alone, says the Wall Street Journal. Meanwhile, the Fed has gone beyond cutting rates to directly purchasing financial assets such as mortgage-backed securities, as well as directly monetizing federal debt by buying treasuries for the first time in half a century. You know, it's no wonder the Chinese and other dollar asset holders are nervous. They wonder, as should all of us, whether or not the unspoken beltway strategy to pay off this debt by inflating it away is what's happening. And, I think there's real concern for that. You know, in housing news, the market for new and used housing is once again growing slowly, but that too is illusory. The vast majority of used homes sold are foreclosures, or other homes priced much lower than the market because of sellers desperate to get out. Even the figures for the sales of new homes are being propped up due to federal and state incentives amounting to over $8,000 per home. Now, that doesn't make a real market. It means that they're inducing people to buy. And, of course, you can only induce people who have money, so it's sucking money out of the savings of people, inducing them to buy into housing just to get advantage of this free money. But it doesn't represent a true market. Meanwhile, of course, defaults and foreclosures continue to rise. Even mortgages modified under new federal incentives are in trouble. The Dow Jones Newswire said mortgages that are modified only delay the inevitable, which predicts that up to 75% of these loans renegotiated under this new federal program will default anyway within 12 months. So So as home prices continue to plunge across the nation in March and record foreclosures filings in April, you know, there's still a huge overhang of housing inventory. It means that home prices will continue their descent. Well, you know, another commentator, H.S. Dent, put all of this into pretty clear perspective, effectively explaining why there isn't going to be any nice ending to all of this. He says home prices have fallen at least 50% from the top for future generations to be able to afford the American dream. They will have to lower, you know, costs even further. No amount of stimulus can stop this slide any more than Japanese could in the 1990s. The U.S. government is coming into this long slide as the largest net debtor in the world from longstanding trade deficits and with huge budget deficits. And now the government wants to add trillions in stimulus money and buy treasury bonds with printed money to keep mortgage rates low. All of this obviously devalues the already falling U.S. dollar. If the recovery is on the strong side, this money printing will cause inflation and accelerating commodity prices by early 2010. If the recovery is weak, despite such massive stimulus, which is likely, he said, the U.S. and global markets will lose confidence in the economy and the U.S. dollar will crash. Thus far, dramatically falling mortgage rates have only stimulated refinancing, not new home purchases, except for those that I mentioned, based upon incentives to buy to get the federal largesse of $8,000. Either way, Dent says the government cannot just endlessly stimulate without consequences. It does not have the luxury Japan had of a growing world economy for export growth. The economy is going to deflate and deleverage anyway, and there are no exceptions in history following bubble booms. And this is likely the greatest bubble boom ever created. Japan, in comparison, their housing market went down over 60% between 1991 and 2005, and their stock market fell 80%. Despite zero interest rates and a government stimulus plan. Now, granted, the Japanese economy still wasn't as big as the $100 trillion dollar economy. And so the U.S. will be able to play this game longer, and it will take place slower than it did in Japan. But nevertheless, the U.S. government's more reckless stimulus program will simply add trillions more in debt and add to this painful deleveraging crisis. How could grown men think, says Dent, that the solution to a debt and credit crisis is more debt and more credit? Meaning the solution is to support the banking system with liquidity and allow deflation to take its role, not to bail out banks and businesses or try to prop up ridiculously high home prices. Well, you know, Dr. Stan, even the federal tax revenues are plunging in tune with less private income. Federal tax revenue plunged $138 billion, or 34% in April as a year ago. I mean, that's a tremendous loss in government revenue. Of course, what difference does that make? They're printing far more money than they're taking in revenue. As Ron Paul said, you could even eliminate the income tax and the government wouldn't even feel the pain in comparison to all the money that they're printing.
But, of course, the thing is that they keep saying, but you don't have to worry. You can trust us because if, you know, as soon as the economy begins to recover, then we're going to start pulling all this money out, this artificial money that we've created. We're going to pull it out, and so there's not going to be any inflation. But the thing is, if they actually were to do that and pull all that money out, the economy would totally collapse. So there's no way they're going to be able to do to protect the dollar. What they've done is they've decided to destroy it. And what's really so interesting, Joel, I was reading Fierce Finance. I don't know if you know that site, but they were just talking this morning. One of the largest hedge funds in America, most successful, has got five hedge funds, and they're investing in gold. They're beginning to accumulate large sums of gold. And these are people who are very, very smart and understand finance, and obviously, that is a sign that they don't trust the dollar.
Absolutely. You know, and by diverting trillions of borrowed citizens' dollars into keeping alive vegetative corporations such as AIG, Chrysler, Citibank, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and GM, the administration is crowding out new enterprising companies from access to vital labor and capital resources. So we're enshrining inefficiency in this manner, and it bodes poorly for the U.S. corporate sector. And what's worse, of course, is that now you're changing all the laws of contract. You're violating contract law in the bankruptcy of GM, taking secured debtors and put them at the bottom of the list. You know, you have all of these stockholders in GM, and they've basically been told, you're out of the picture now, and you've given the government 50% of the stock, you've given the labor unions about 15% of the stock, and you've given the rest of the stock to the bondholders. I mean, you can't just take someone's stock certificate and say, sorry, we're taking your stock and giving it to someone else. And it's, what's the rule of law all about when you can just say the government can do what they want to do and pick winners and losers? And that's what I'm concentrating on in part of this brief. The larger problem is the fact that these bailouts are wholly selective, with Congress giving the Treasury and the Fed a literal blank check to bail out whom they will and refuse money to others, in essence to pick winners and losers. This total lack of due process, of equanimity, is now the driving force of corruption in the U.S. economy. It is also completely without foundation in law to allow the government to dole out money in a manner that is totally discriminatory and without accountability. I mean, it sends a not-so-subtle message to small banks and corporations that unless you get into bed with government and become an insider, you will not survive. But in point of fact, smaller banks are not being allowed into the club, even when they're eager to play along. Many are purposely being squeezed out of the markets and being denied bailout funds in order to be bought up by those on the receiving end of bailouts. So this is just unconscionable, and nobody's, in Congress is raising a protest. People have a small voice. Ron Paul's group, the Campaign for Liberty, is raising a voice about this, but it's not being carried forth by the media.
I think it's so important for our listeners to understand we are witnessing the greatest transfer of wealth in history. And, of course, it's being transferred from the American people, from the American taxpayers, to a small group of very powerful and wealthy individuals, not only in this country, but throughout the world. The Federal Reserve System is sending money to European banks, favored European banks, and central banks to prop up European banks. Why are we sending our money overseas to prop up banks in Europe when, of course, we're told there's just not enough money to lend here in America, and that's why the economy is collapsing? Nobody ever asks what's really going on, the most massive transfer of wealth as we move to impoverish the American people, to destroy the value of our currency, and the wealthy will get wealthier. And I have nothing against wealthy people. I believe in a free enterprise system, but this is not a free enterprise system. This is a system designed to favor certain powerful people and powerful banks and powerful corporations.
And it's getting ever more convoluted with Gaitner's new public-private investment program. It's really a scam for insiders. This is supposedly to be able to buy out the toxic assets from the banks, but it appears the Treasury envisions allowing private investors to bid for toxic mortgage securities, but only put up about 7% of the purchase price. And the TARP matching funds that amount, the remainder being non-recourse financing from the Fed and the FDIC. So what this means, it essentially implies that the government would grant bidders a put option against 86% of whatever price they bid. This is not only an invitation for, fraud. It would allow the financing of largely speculative and inefficient priced bids, with the public bearing the cost of the losses. In other words, these people, can outbid these things, and if it loses, the government picks up the loss. If it gains, they get all the gain. I mean, it's a can't-lose situation
for
these people, except the public.
It's simply another example of transferring the wealth of the American taxpayer to these large banks. In fact, many of the large banks are saying, we want to bid on our own assets that are going to be sold. We want to be able to bid on them, too. Well, what
and the reason is because they can bid on these things with no threat of loss.
Absolutely. And, Chris, what they're going to do is we are going to pay for their bad judgment in getting into this mess.
And, of course, they'll bid knowing what the better assets are and let other people, let basically the government pick up the ones that are not bid on. So this is really something that we have never before seen, and it's all done in the name of, you know, we cannot afford not to bail out this country, so anything goes.
And we'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen here, the American Freedom Network.
Hi, this is Phil with WolfAutoGroup.com. We sell new, used trucks, cars, ATVs. We love to barter, horse trade. You know, your valuable things for ours. We also have many willing lenders to finance any difference left over to make your payoff on your automobile. Try us. We will trade for your valuable goods. WolfAutoGroup.com. Local number 303-931-9096. Talk to Mr. Wolf personally for the best location to serve you. Thank you.
RDS Environmental in Lafayette salutes all our area students and graduates for their accomplishments. With prom night and graduation right around the corner, sometimes common sense and safety get pushed aside. Parents, talk to your kids and remind them about the dangers of drinking and driving. That message, courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold than silver.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to your newsletter if they'd like? Joel, are you there? Well, I hope Joel is there. Joel, I hope we haven't lost Joel, but I think what the things that he's talking about are so vitally important. And people have to understand that there is a small little group, a cabal, that really runs our government. We have an invisible government. We have the government that everybody sees with the congressmen, the senators, and President Obama. But they are all controlled. Well, I'm not even sure we're on the air here because I don't hear anything. There we are. Okay, go ahead. Joel, are you there? Joel, are you there? Well, do we have a caller? If somebody would call in at 970-689-8255, so I would know I was on the air for certain, 970-689-8255. That way I'll know I'm not just talking. And right now, of course, we're talking about certainly the fact that there is a cabal that runs our nation. It was established back in 1973 by David Rockefeller. And, of course, Barry Goldwater wrote about it in his book, With No Apologies, talking about the Trilateral Commission, and the purpose of the Trilateral Commission was to gain control over the financial and commercial interests of the entire world by first seizing control of the government of the United States. Those are his words. You'll find them on page 280 of his book. Yes, hello, are you there?
Yes, it's Kevin from Fort Collins, Colorado. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I don't know how we happened to lose Joel Skousen.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But anyway, I appreciate your calling in. At least I know I'm on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I called, and that's technology in its finest, and for all its faults, it'll not go away.
Well, thank you so very much for calling in. At least I know I'm on the air. Any question you had or a comment?
No, I actually joined a little late. I signed up for Joel's newsletter, and I really appreciate it. I went to look at it this morning because I left home early to drop by a local coffee shop and missed it. But I'm sure he's going to send it later on. I really appreciate what both of you are doing.
Well, Joel is really a fascinating source of information. Of course, his World Affairs Brief website, that's World Affairs Brief. I go there every morning, and certainly we have opportunity to go through that, and then we can actually figure out what's going on. I don't have to go to a dozen other websites. They've done all the work for me. And of course, then the newsletter we get every week is a great source of information. Joel has a very astute, he has an ability really to crystallize the news and look behind what's going on, not what we're being told, but what's the real purpose behind it. So I'm sure you'll enjoy his newsletter. I'm glad you got it, and I appreciate you calling in.
Amen, and he might be back on now.
Yes,
I am back on.
All right, we lost you there. Of course, what happens is, if you're not there and I don't hear anything, I don't even know if I'm on if I'm on the radio. Fortunately, Kevin called in and assured me we were on the radio. Well, you pick up the story. I was simply asking if you would tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
Yes, they can subscribe just by going to the website and worldaffairsbrief.com and pressing on the subscribe button. But they may want to get a sample copy first, which they can do by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And it tells them how to do that right on the front page of the website.
editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Go right ahead.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the GM and Chrysler bankruptcies. You know, Chrysler is in bankruptcy, hoping to come out with a deal with Fiat. This is a very strange deal. Fiat's an Italian company just coming back off the rocks itself with over $9 billion in debt. And, of course, they're asking special consideration. They don't have to take any of the liability from product liability claims from Chrysler. They want basically to start fresh. Any mistakes that Chrysler made before, they won't be responsible with. These are all kinds of insider deals. And nobody knows, except that, Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy, is a globalist and a major player, and how Fiat got the upper leg on this deal is anybody's guess.
Well, I would just comment, the vice chairman of Fiat just happens to be, just by chance, a member of the Trilateral Commission.
Yes, absolutely, just like Berlusconi. Well, Business Week got it right when they said, well, the upshot of all of this is that some 30 significant players in the automotive markets worldwide are fighting over a piece of the U.S. auto sales that has shrunk by more than 30% in the past 12 months. And most of those foreign car companies, of course, receive subsidies from their respective governments. Now our car companies are joining that club. What's interesting, however, is that Ford has not so far gone under. Now, they were the ones threatening bankruptcy so much longer before GM and Chrysler, and they've not yet gone into bankruptcy. And I hope they don't. I'd like to see one American car company still be free from government ownership. The industry worldwide can put out about 90 million cars, but it's only selling about 55 million. So we're looking at about half the productive force of worldwide factory car output, and you simply can't keep the number of car companies that are out there. So I'm not so sure these car companies are going to survive except by constant input by taxpayer money, constant subsidies. And, even the world's car makers are still finishing up plants, like Kia and Volkswagen are building U.S. plants. Toyota Motors is finishing a factory in Mississippi, slated to manufacture more Prius hybrids. If someone, you know, buys GM's Saturn retail network, they could begin, and they won't be producing Saturns, which is out of business now, as well as Pontiac. They could give the space to the Chinese car makers or India's Tata Motors to have a launching pad within the U.S. None of that speaks well for what's happening in the U.S. And, of course, as you and I talked about yesterday, GM itself is going to start producing cars in Japan for U.S. import. In other words, saving a company that is not going to produce more U.S. jobs, but is, in fact, going to export them overseas.
And then, so why are we giving them all of this money so that they can build up their foreign, you know, their foreign production facilities? This just doesn't make any sense unless people understand that there is a plan to export our jobs, an organized plan on the part of the elite who controls this country to send our manufacturing, our jobs, and our wealth to other countries to build up their economies and build up their living standards in other countries as they progressively, as a plan program, lower living standards here. Once you understand the plan, it all makes sense. Otherwise, nothing's going on that makes any sense.
Well, and as we talked about before, of course, the government is picking winners and losers. The Obama administration and GM are paying off their political buddies, first of all, in the United Auto Workers, the union. This is tantamount to vote buying. Well, they already actually bought the votes. This is the payout for previous votes for Obama. General Motors, which is staying afloat, of course, on $20 billion of government loans, plans to offer a sweet buyout package for all of the, or a good portion of the UAW workers who are going to lose their jobs.
We're going to be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen to wrap up today's program. Just a moment. Hang on.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to celebrate Shavuot 2009, Sunday, May the 31st at North Shore Park of Lake Loveland, Loveland, Colorado at the Amphitheater from 10 until 5 p.m. Bring your own picnic, lunch, and drink. No glass containers are allowed in the facility. Bring a blanket, umbrella, and protection from the sun. Special guest speaker will be Dr. Frank Morgan, Obadiah Frank. Praise and worship music by the Beth Messiah Band, the Intercourt Dancers, Voice of Many Waters, and a special concert by Michael Golden. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Hog Sameach.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about the wonderful buyout package that, you know, the union workers are going to get under this deal. If they leave work under this bankruptcy, GM will offer buyout themselves and their retirement packages that range from $20,000 to $115,000 in cash per person, as well as a $25,000 credit for a new vehicle to purchase. Peter Hastings, auto industry corporate bond analyst, questioned the terms of the deal. Said, how do you explain to individual bondholders that stand to lose most of their investment in this company? The UAW workers are going to get a free car in six figures. Indeed, that is a question. But this is all about the government picking winners and losers, and it's absolutely unjust for the government ever to have this power to do something completely arbitrary without recurring to law.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, and certainly it looks like the government could end up owning most of the stock in General Motors, but what are they going to do with it? They can't run the company. There's just no way. And then what's the relationship between General Motors in this country and General Motors in China and in Russia and in India and in South America? I mean, why are we giving, why are we giving so much money to General Motors when they have factories all over the rest of the world that are making money and profitable? There's something wrong with what's going on, and nobody ever asks these. I know you ask the questions, and I do, but most people don't.
Right. Well, before we run out of time today, I want to cover the North Korean issue, trying to understand North Korea's militant brinkmanship. As people know, there have been test firing nuclear weapons and missiles and even getting ready to, you know, make more destabilizing measures. They have, in essence, said that they're not going to abide by the armistice agreement, which was not a end of the war. It just simply said we had agreed not to fight any longer. Actually, this is more hype than anything else. U.S. troops, of course, have been put on high alert, so is South Korea. South Korean stock market is falling, and the South Korea has finally used this as an excuse to join the U.S.-led Proliferation Security Initiative. This is claiming the right, essentially, to board North Korean vessels, ships leaving the country, and inspect them for weapons of mass destruction. Actually, this should have been done doing this a long time before. The U.S., in fact, has never made good on these threats. And just the, you know, the talking about this, again, puts North Korea in a line to say that this is going to be an act of war if you stop and inspect any of our vehicles. But as my longtime readers are aware, the U.S. has always played it easy with North Korea, talking tough but always backing down and accepting whatever North Korea dishes out, which in turn is always less than its belligerent rhetoric would imply. The U.S. has always fulfilled its promises of providing oil and aid to North Korea, even in the face of North Korea's refusal to abide by its parts of the agreement. And worse, the U.S. has made numerous statements guaranteeing North Korea's national integrity and assuring this worst of all rogue nations that the U.S. is not seeking regime change. I mean, this is just incredible. We went in and got regime change out of Saddam Hussein, who was a saint compared to Kim Jong-il, and, you know, the police state, the military state that North Korea is, you know, this is not only strange but hypocritical given the U.S. has attacked these other nations and is intending on attack nations like Iran in the future, who is nowhere near as predatory or dangerous or advanced in its nuclear program than North Korea. Now, there's several reasons why I think the U.S. is being permissive and playing with North Korea with kid gloves. First of all, the U.S. knows that North Korea is fronting for China and Russia, who are not yet ready to tangle with America. Two, the U.S. actively covers for Russian and Chinese duplicity. Both nations claim to be equally concerned about North Korea's belligerency. They both claim to be trying to bring about change through diplomatic pressure, but these are all lies. These are allies. North Korea is fronting for them. North Korea is doing their dirty work. And, you know, for the U.S. to let Russia and China get away with this, claiming to be on, you know, on the six-party talks that are trying to get North Korea to undo their nuclear weapons, which China and Russia provided the technology to do. I mean, this is just ludicrous. The U.S. knows that North Korea must be preserved to provide a future trigger event for World War III, which I believe Western globalists secretly desire to use for their own purposes of furthering a new world order. This alone explains U.S. permissiveness with North Korea while playing hardball with other lesser threats. That is, North Korea is being preserved to be the bad boy that starts World War III. Now, for its part, North Korea has long known that the U.S. is somehow afraid to enforce its will upon Pyongyang. I don't think it knows why particularly, but it does know from a long history of confrontations that the best way to deal with the international community when they're putting pressure on North Korea is to act the part of the bad boy, to get close to the brink of war, and then watch as the U.S. and all the world begs it to pull back from the brink, offering aid and other goodies for retreating from its provocative behavior. Isn't this incredible? The bad boy acts up, and you say, oh, no, we don't want that, you know, and so we'll give you cookies and, you know, and go watch television, and we'll back down. It's worked before, so why not now? Someday North Korea will make good on its threats, but this, I don't believe, is yet that time. For now, the North Koreans want U.S. and U.N. sanctions removed, and that's why they're acting up. They feel that the international community will bend to defuse the crisis. The U.N. showed the first signs of permissiveness yesterday by agreeing not to increase sanctions in light of Pyongyang's latest tantrum, but maintain existing ones. That, too, will change in time once the six-party talks resume. And once those talks resume, they'll have an excuse to say, well, we've made a new agreement, and in exchange for North Korea once again agreeing to stop its nuclear reactors, that we will give such and such a package of aid. I mean, how many times do we have to go through this before the American people understand it? I mean, this is just a sham. How many times does this cycle have to occur? I'm just...
Well, you would think after a while that our leaders would make a mistake on our side instead of always helping the North Koreans. In fact, they would not be in power if we were not had not repeatedly given them large amounts of food because their people were starving, and lots amount of oil, which they have to have to survive in those terrible and frigid winters. Because you go back to the time of the Korean War, they wouldn't even let the American military during the war bomb the major supply depots in North Korea. I wonder why. Hey, we're out of time, Joel. God bless. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the K&K discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
If you have a yard or maybe a field, you may plan on digging in it. Perhaps you want to put in a swimming pool, add a super awesome barbecue pit, or bury a comically large chest of pirate booty.
Yarr.
But before you dig, you should know that there are buried pipelines in lots of places, maybe even under your own little patch of St. Augustine. If you dig and hit one of these pipelines, it could cause a leak, and that could cause serious problems.
Sorry.
So before you find buried pipelines with a shovel or a backhoe, find them with a phone. Call 811 before you dig to have any buried lines located and marked at no charge. Remember, before you dig for any reason, be it construction, a sprinkler system, or tunneling your way to sweet, sweet freedom, call 811 first. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our conversation every Friday morning with Joel Skousen. Joel is a fascinating source of information. Well, I wanted to comment. We've finally completed our DVD. It's called Financial Armageddon. It's my talk on why we're having this financial crisis, who created this, what it's all about, where we're headed. What is the invisible force behind Barack Obama? How did he really get to be the president? And what does the future hold? Well, it's all covered in our two-hour talk of Financial Armageddon. And, of course, we had to wait to put the PowerPoint on it before we released it. Comes with a syllabus. You can get the syllabus with it, or you don't have to get the syllabus. But it's nice to have because it's got a lot of the information we talk about. Some of the documents that you will never read elsewhere. That's Financial Armageddon. So, oh, this is a new DVD, and it will give you insight into what's going on. We also, of course, have a great new DVD by Patrick Wood on the Trilateral Commission. And it's vitally important you understand that this is the group that really, of course, controls President Obama. 11 of their key members are, well, they hold, there are only 87 people in the organization. 11 of them, either current or prior Trilateral Commission members, hold the key positions in the current administration. Do you honestly believe that just happened by accident? Only 87 people, their purpose was to take over control of our government, according to Senator Barry Goldwater, and 11 of their people are on the current administration. Of course, during the Carter administration, there were only 80 people in the organization, and 28 of them were in the Carter administration after David Rockefeller and Zygmunt Brzezinski placed Jimmy Carter in the president. And it is not simply by accident that since between 1976 and 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from this little group. You want to get Patrick Wood's DVD, The Trilateral Commission. That'll be available here by the first of the week. So we certainly hope you'll go to our website and see all the items we have, items you won't get elsewhere, on the Forbidden Secret. My talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus will tell you what this secret is that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And there is a force out there. You can tap into it, and you certainly don't want to. We have got a great new DVD on the Shack. It goes into this most popular Christian book. It's said that this is the greatest Christian book since Pilgrim's Progress, and there's a sequel to Paul Bunyan's book. And let me tell you, it is total heresy. You need this new DVD, The Shack, because Christians are buying this by the case and passing it out. Ministers are endorsing it, and it is total heresy. This DVD, it's called The Death of Deception, of Discernment. The Death of Discernment, The Shack. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. Don't forget the conspiracy conference, if you can make it, on June 6th and June 7th. If you wanted more information, go to ConspiracyCon. That's ConspiracyCon.com. And I'll be giving the lead speech there on Saturday morning. There's some great speeches there. There's some people from the other side, and you'll want to hear what they have to say as well, because, of course, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our liberty, for our salvation and protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Danny Golden here to tell you about Biondi Jewelers and my good friend Cheryl. At Biondi Jewelers, you get two master jewelers, a certified gemologist, the largest bridal selection in Colorado, and expert service from Cheryl, too. So if you are looking for unique settings and custom design, or you want to replace some missing stones and get that broken jewelry or watch repaired, Biondi is the place to go. Stop by the new location on Arapahoe and Parker Roads in New Corner Star Shopping Center in Arapahoe. Aurora. Biondi Diamond Jewelers, 4112 South Parker Road in Aurora. Or call 303-680-8725. Oh, one more thing. I've known Cheryl for over 20 years, and she's willing to offer to KHNC listeners a free watch battery, free cleaning, and a free jewelry inspection with the mention of this ad. You must ask for Cheryl. Call her now at 303-680-8725. 303-680-8725.
This is The Lion, KHNC 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
IRN, USA Radio. News agency reports China missions.